Hello and welcome to another episode of City on a Hill, a podcast about what it means to be a citizen of heaven and a citizen of the United States. We want to encourage Christians to find their tribe in the church and their hope in the kingdom of God, rather than to seek both in the kingdom of man. So with that, let's get to it today.
Well, hello, I'm Eric Estep.
And I'm Scott Reevely.
And this is the City on a Hill podcast. Welcome back, listeners. Welcome back, Scott. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good.
Yeah, you just took a big vacation here.
A big vacation. I have now seen the Grand Canyon, which is exactly what they said it is, grand.
And a canyon.
And a canyon.
It's both.
I was confident it was going to be a canyon.
Okay.
I was overwhelmed by its grandness. So.
Yeah, it's aptly named for sure.
Yes.
I remember that. I think the first time I saw it, we pulled in and looked over the overview, and everyone was talking in hushed tones because it was like there was this sense of awe on the part of everybody. It was really kind of amazing. Yeah.
That's helpful. It's good to go on a vacation, but it's also good to go places that make you feel small.
Yeah.
I think it's a good practice.
Change the way you view the world, really. Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Well, good. I'm glad you got to do that.
Yeah. But we're not going to talk about the Grand Canyon today. We're going to talk about some other tools. If the Grand Canyon is a tool to help you feel small, we need some tools to help us communicate better with our neighbors. So we're hoping to do some of that today. And we have some tips and tricks, maybe not tips and tricks, but at least some tools from a book that you recently read. And we talked about them in a, what are we calling that thing we did at church? Family conversations about politics?
Yeah, we're trying to create a situation at church where we get better at talking about things with each other. And I thought we'd start with getting better about talking about things before we get to getting better about talking about politics.
Because
if you can talk about other things, maybe you, and you get better at that, maybe you'll also get better at talking about politics. Because really, I have, you know, in thinking about all that we've done here the last couple of years with the podcast, I mean, one of my aims is that the church is healthier and equipped to deal with the political season and the pressures and all the things. But some of it is, I just would be really happy if families have a happier Thanksgiving meal after the election than they had in 2020. Because I remember 2020, there were many not happy Thanksgiving meals. And so really to do that, I think we just, I want to help people get better at having conversations, period, whether it's politics or whether it's Thanksgiving or not. And so I heard a podcast with about a book that made that promise, more or less, and it has, I've loved it. In fact, I read it and had just finished it and sat down at dinner and thought to myself, I'm going to try this. And so I don't remember the question now. It was a few months ago. And I just sort of listened to what Marcia said, and I took a little pivot, and I asked a question that I thought of because of the book. And she thought, oh, that's, and, you know, she gave a really good answer. We had a really good conversation. And then I asked another book-related question.
He's on a roll.
I was. And so anyway, I asked those questions, and then I later that night told Marcia about the book. See, I hadn't talked about the book before, so I told her about the book. And Lane overheard me say that, and she said, is that why you ask those questions, Dad, at dinner time? She like,
caught.
Oh, she connected the dots. Like, I did better because of this book. So all that to say, we're going to share with you what is in that book. I reached out to the author to try and get her on the podcast, but up till now I've been unsuccessful. Probably if she ever says yes, we'll probably still do it.
Oh, sure.
Because she'd be a great conversation because that's what her book's about.
Mm-hmm.
And so the book, the name of the book is The Six Conversations, Pathways to Connecting in an Age of Isolation and Incivility by Heather Holloman. And so I heard her talk about it and thought, okay, that might be something that helps us, and found that it just really, really was. And so we shared this with the church here a month or so ago and tried to apply it again. So we were having a series of three Family Conversations at New Life Church West Lynn. And the second one, we tried to apply this as we asked better questions. And so anyway, thought it'd be worth sharing with you, because if it helps you have better conversations, then you're going to be in business when it comes time to talk about politics. So
yeah. And I kind of want to underscore that for people. This is not just, hey, here's some tools to have conversations so that when you get into a sticky political whatever type of conversation, now you have some tools. I think this is helpful.
Well, it is that.
It is definitely that.
Yeah.
But I think it's helpful well before that. Even your example of questions at dinner, every day I have dinner with my boys and my wife, and I'm trying to figure out, how do I create a good conversation? And it's hard. And that's not a divisive interaction, and that's not about politics. It's just about, I want to love people, and it's hard to figure out how to talk to them. And that could be at with your family, that could be at your work, that could be when you're interacting with your hobbies, whatever. If your desire is to love people, these are going to be helpful for you,
because
they help
times,
you do that well.
How many times have you gotten into a conversation and it's, how's your day? Good. Then what? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what'd you do today? Oh, nothing. And you just really can't ever get past that. This is hopefully going to help you get past that. So
anyway,
there we go. So what? How she starts off, the foundation for good conversation, she says there are four elements to the foundation for good conversations. And I'll just tell you what the four are, and then we'll talk about them a little bit. The first one is be curious. The second is believe the best. The third is express concern. And the fourth is share your life. And so that's it. Those four things will represent the foundation for good conversation. So the first is to be curious. And one of her tips was just to start by saying, I'm curious. I mean, and then whatever else you want to say, right?
Right.
Just start by saying, I'm curious. And it might be, how did you arrive at that opinion? Or I'm curious, how did you enjoy the car ride or the trip or the Grand Canyon? I'm curious.
Right.
And just, I'm curious. And sort of tell yourself that as well as the other person, but get used to being curious.
I've been using that quite a bit, and it's an automatic diffuser. I'm not escalating the situation. I'm just curious.
You're not accusing.
Right.
Because
I just want to know.
Right.
And it's amazing, people, if you are curious, and it doesn't matter if you agree with them or not. It doesn't matter if you like what they did or didn't do. It doesn't matter what story comes out of their mouth. You can be curious about something you don't agree with and just listen to it and observe it and go, oh, this is fascinating. But I've been surprised by the level of depth in conversation I can get just by starting with, I'm curious, and then let's see where people go.
And, you know, somebody said it's hard to be mad and curious at the same time, which, again, there now all of a sudden we're talking politics, aren't we? But that's, if you want to diffuse the madness, be curious. That's first. Second one really does apply. Oh, my goodness. Does apply to political conversations, especially. And that is believe the best. I think one of the things that's most surprising is when somebody who has different political views than you do says what they believe, and they have good reasons, and it is reasonable, and, oh, I thought they were trying to ruin America, or I thought they were trying to ruin, you know, our city or whatever, and they really are trying to help. They're just trying to help a different way, or they're thinking of it differently than you. So just start from there. Just believe the best and give people the benefit of the doubt, and that is that alone. Really, this little piece alone, but curiosity, maybe you're not curious. Maybe you can't even get yourself to be curious, but if you can believe the best about the people that you're in the room with, most of the problems will go away. So,
yeah, and it's a much more neighborly posture than assuming, oh, these are all my enemies. Like, believe the best and just wait to be proven wrong. Get some actual evidence before you start.
Don't start out disappointed.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. The third foundation is express concern, which is really not express concern that you have such a bad idea. It's like, I'm concerned about your terrible idea. That's not what we're talking about. I'm concerned about you as a person. So, you know, you say, I think we need whatever political opinion you have or whatever. And I just say, oh, it sounds like you really are, you know, concerned for your kids. Mm-hmm. And that's what's making you think that or vote that way or whatever. It seems to me that this is heavy on your heart, or I feel like you are really trying to be responsible here and really can't. And anyway, you're just expressing the fact that you care about them as a person, and you're hearing not just the what may be a crazy political idea, but you're hearing them as a person express their own concern. And so mm-hmm. you just reflect that back to them is one of the things that you can do. And then the fourth foundation is to share your life. So it's not just it's not your counseling session where you're just trying to get them to mm-hmm. talk. It's like you're sharing some of your life. Right. And some of that is kind of simple, that you're, when you're sharing your life, you might even have to ask permission to, you know, so I don't exactly see that the same way that you see it. Would you mind if I shared the way I see it? And you know, you're going to share your, and even if you have to ask permission, or you know, sometimes you have to ask permission just to stop people from talking because they keep talking. You say, well, would you mind if I share how I feel about that? And you know, that's maybe your opinion on politics, but you share your life, you know, you might even just agree with them. I share the same concern for my kids that you have for yours, but we're not, you know, I don't know that I see the solution the same way you do or whatever, but I'm just going to share some from my life too. And those four things, be curious, believe the best, express concern, and share your life, will give you the foundation for a good conversation about anything. Whether it's sports, I mean, because really, you can just have a stupid conversation about sports. If it, you know, if nobody's curious, if you don't believe the best, if there's no reason for concern, then it's just noise. Right. It's not really a...
We're just filling time.
Right, but if I do express concern that, you know, I really notice that it matters to you who wins this golf tournament, you know, help me understand why, then... I mean, we'll have a good conversation.
Yeah.
You know, it's different than, you know, if we just do stats or something. So anyway, those four things.
Well, I think especially, I think all of them, but especially the fourth one, share your life, that requires a bit of courage. I'm gonna put myself out there. I'm gonna, to some degree, trust you with my story, trust you with what I think about. And I have been working at being courageous in sharing my life, specifically in like a work context. It's really easy to just go, okay, I'm going to compartmentalize this and only do work and only talk about work and only do work things. But there's many opportunities, and I encourage anyone listening to be courageous and begin to share a bit of life with the people around you. And I've just been pleased by the type of conversations I can have because I'm going, all right, I'm willing to share this little bit, and I'm going to be courageous and take this little step, and people... welcome that, and I think you'll be surprised by the type of interaction you can have with people.
So yes, believe the best, be curious, express concern, share life, and you're off and running. She suggests that there are three goals for every conversation. One is to be encouraging, one is to help somebody grow, and one is to provoke a sense of marvel or awe. And so it's very easy when I ask Eric about the Grand Canyon, we get the third one.
We can use the awe,
you know, easy peasy, right? The marveling or awe, and it provokes awe, but to help somebody grow or to be encouraging also. Those three things, if you can have that happen in a conversation, then you'll really, I think, feel satisfied with the conversation. So be encouraging, help someone grow, and provoke a sense of awe. Well, then the meat and potatoes, because of the book, has to do with six conversations. And she suggests that there are six areas of life that people like to talk about. And really, these six areas of life are what make us human. And so she suggests, why don't you probe in each one of those six areas? And somebody's going to like to talk about one of them, probably. You're going to maybe strike out in five of them, but there's one that will... you know, push their button, she suggests, and I think she's probably right. So I'll give you the six areas. We'll go back and talk about them the same way as before. Number one is physical. area of life, emotional area of life, volitional, cognitive, social, and spiritual. So those six areas of life will be areas in which you can have conversations with people really about the same thing.
Mm. So it's not just, this is only a physical conversation. You could have a physical conversation about, could I have a physical conversation about politics?
Oh, sure.
How? Sure. What would that look like?
Where were you when you read the news this morning? Mm. Or that's asking a physical question. Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. how did it affect you when you saw that headline? Or, you know, what did it make you feel when you saw that newscast and they told you should be angry? Or whatever. You can ask people about their sensations, about their where they were, about their senses. Those sorts of things are physical conversations. And again, you can have this conversation, these six conversations about the same thing. So whether it's politics and it's physical, there's still an emotional component or still a volitional component. So you ask, you can probe in all these things about the topic that you're on, whether it's politics or whether it's sports or whether it's weather, whether it's dinner, whatever it is you want to talk about. You just suggest, you know, probing or asking questions that are in any one of these six areas. So there's physical, which we've sort of poked around a little bit. The second is emotional, which is a simple question. How do you feel about that? Some people just shut down and say, you know, not very good, or, you know, I didn't have any feelings or whatever. But you can do maybe better than that. And one of the things that she suggests is that you use strong verbs instead of weak verbs. Like instead of how was your day, you might say what surprised you about your day, or what shocked you, or what just make the verb stronger than how was, or how did, you know, how do you feel. Say what kind of gut reaction do you have to that? I mean, is this is this making you that's a physical question, isn't it? But
sure.
if I probe on how you might feel when something happens, you can push on those feelings, you know, or a 1 to 10 question on this. How strongly, you said this made you angry. I mean, how strong was your anger on a scale of 1 to 10? You're asking a feeling question. Mm-hmm. But you're asking any kind of question about emotions, and you're just not going to be afraid of it because really somebody else's emotion isn't your thing.
And you're curious.
And I'm curious.
And my main goal is to care or encourage or be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And to understand that is, I'm not, these are not tricks, and it's probably worth underlining a couple times. These are not tricks to convert people to your position. These are means of encouraging and helping people grow and loving your neighbor.
Yeah, and understanding the person you're with so that you can love them for sure. So physical and emotional, volitional is you're asking about their will or their choices. Like, how did you come to that decision? Which is a better question than like, why did you choose that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why?
Yeah, it sounds negative.
Like, why in the world do you believe that? You're not asking why. You're saying, how did you arrive at that decision, or what are the what were the sort of data points that, you know, you looked at to arrive at that decision? So you're asking about their decisions, or you know, you're talking about somebody's trip home. You know, your dinner, and then we came home from work, and you just want to say, well, why did you take that route?
Mm.
You know, like, you're not judging their route, but, you know, what how did you get home and what did you take? So you're asking about a decision, or you're asking about a favorite kind of a choice, possibly. You know, when you go to this restaurant, what's the favorite thing that you like to have?
What do you prefer here?
Yeah, so so you're asking about their volition or their will or choices. So physical, emotional, volitional. The next one's cognitive. And this one's probably the easiest, and some people only talk about this.
That's probably why things are difficult, is because we stick into the cognitive.
Yeah.
All the time.
What do you think? Basically, it's about knowledge or thinking. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think? Or what's your opinion about this? So you're asking a factual, knowledge-based, thought-based question. So, mm-hmm. and you can do that about, you know, you can do that about science. I mean, I asked Eric the other day about what are your boys going to remember about the road trip, and he said, so it's a what question. A what question is largely a cognitive mm-hmm. question, probably. I said, what will they remember? And he said, creatures, which I thought was a hilarious answer.
Yep.
Creatures. But that's a knowledge. I have more knowledge than I did before I asked that question. So mm-hmm. it's a knowledge-based question. So physical, emotional, volitional, cognitive. The next one's social, which I think is really interesting. People like to talk about people. If you have a teenage girl, you know this. But in fact, one of the things that she suggests is if you're needing to talk to a teenager, just ask the question, who else was there? Mm. And then you got something else to talk about because you're talking about people. And if you're talking about people, one of the things people really like is to talk about stories. Like, you know, tell me the story about how you met, or mm-hmm. tell me the story about how you ended up in Oregon, or tell me the story about, and you're talking about people.
And I like that. That's a better, so typically when you meet new people and you're married, eventually they'll ask, where did you guys meet? They ask a cognitive question, maybe a physical question kind of, but a way better question would be, tell me the story about how you guys met, or tell me the story about how you guys got married or something. That's the basis for a much more interesting conversation.
Yeah, so you don't, in some respect, once you get them telling the story, you don't have to work very hard mm-hmm. in some respect when you're having the conversation. But you could ask a social question about politics, like, you know, who influences you? Mm. Or is there anybody that you think is really wise or anybody that's really good in this space that you pay attention to?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a social question because it's a people question.
Yeah, whose thinking do you resonate with, or whose writing do you regularly read?
Yeah, who do you read?
Yep.
But these again, you recognize these are aspects of life. If you just mm-hmm. made a pie chart of life, really all of life will fall into one of these slices of pie. And so you've got the physical, emotional, volitional, cognitive, social. And then finally, spiritual. And, I love that the author is a believer and wants to talk to people about Jesus. But you can be easy to ask questions here. And really, most people are more willing to talk about this than you think.
Mm-hmm.
But just how does this, your opinion, you know, fit with what you know about the Bible? Or does this what your church teaches? Or how does this, you know, sort of lay over your relationship with the Lord? Or you can ask any number of spiritual questions. Do you pray about this? Or can I pray for you? Or any number of questions come in this spiritual realm. And I think those are good questions to talk about with politics too, because one of the things that we've tried to do for a couple years now is say, you know what, your political choices really do have an impact on your spiritual life
mm-hmm.
Vice versa. And so ask spiritual questions about that. So those are the six areas those are the six conversations she says that we could be willing to have a spiritual conversation, have a social conversation, have a cognitive conversation, a conversation about will or volition, an emotional conversation, a physical conversation. And, you know, it's not rocket science, but if you have those kind of in your hip pocket and you ask, and I want to talk to you about feelings, Eric, because you know how
we
love to do that because we're guys, right? So I ask you a feeling question, like, you know, how did you feel about that? And you said, meh.
Fine.
Meh, yeah. Then I know, okay, my next question might need to be in the, volitional area. So I'm just going to like probe here. And
sure.
I'm going to say, well, Eric, how did you end up choosing a trip to the Grand Canyon and all the other places that you went?
Mm.
And my guess is you've got something to say about that.
I chose ChatGPT.
Okay.
No.
Really? That's not what I expected, no. But...
We knew we were going to go to the Grand Canyon, but I did use ChatGPT to route the trip and said, okay, I want to be at each national park this many days and just make that route for me. And
mm-hmm.
so that was why, at least where it ended up in the trip is that. But Never been to the Grand Canyon, so I've only heard wonderful things about it, and that's why I want to go check it out.
Wow. Okay. Well, there. See, you just got some travel advice and everything here, which, again, all I did was throw out an example question, and now everyone's like, you know, hitting ChatGPT on their phone trying to make their plans for their vacation, which is good. Yeah, so
it works.
Anyway, hopefully that, you know, I would say if you can practice these, you don't. It's terrible. I think reading the book, I told Marcia about the book. She bought it immediately. Mm. And it's really a wonderful book and it's easy read. And so I'd say get the book. But if you don't get the book, go back over maybe this podcast, get those six things, take notes, write it down, and then begin to think, how am I going to ask questions of the people I love in these areas and practice? Start practicing now so that you can have better conversations about anything, and then when it comes time for Thanksgiving dinner, you can have better conversations about politics with awesome. Your family. So that's what I'm hoping.
Well, and I'll put a couple challenges to people. We just talked about the six conversations: physical, emotional, volitional, cognitive, social, or spiritual. I don't know if you're listening to this on the way to work or in the morning or whatever, but you're probably going to interact with someone fairly soon once you take your headphones out, and try one of those six conversations and just try to have that conversation during the day or when you get home for dinner or whatever it is. Try those out and see how it goes and start practicing.
Be curious, believe the best, express concern, share your life, and you'll be all set.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
And you'll have great conversations. I mean, it's super fun to you ask a good conversation and it goes from on a scale of 1 to 10, like a 2 or 3, or we do this every day, same conversation. And you ask a better question, you take responsibility for a conversation, and you're curious about something, and all of a sudden it's a boom, it's at 8 or 10, and it's like, this is so much more interesting. I'm really glad I worked at it, so.
Awesome. Well, those are some new tools in your tool belt, so hopefully you can start using them and start practicing with them so you can get better at them, and they're gonna be helpful for you. We will be back next week with another episode. Normally I tell you to subscribe and do all those things, but you're already listening. So what I want you to do instead is hit the share button on your podcast app right now and share this episode with a friend and say, hey, I learned some tools and I thought you might enjoy the tools as well. So I'm sharing them with you. And we'll look forward to the next conversation. And if you have any questions in the meantime, send them to comment@cityonahillpodcast.com, and we'll talk to you soon.